At 6:20, this is KERA News. I'm Stephanie Kuo. The city of Fort Worth is closing its shelter for Hurricane Harvey evacuees. At one point, about 250 people were staying at the Wilkerson Grinds Activity Center. Last night, the count was down to about 50, according to the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Irving has already closed its shelter. City officials plan to bus dozens of evacuees from Port Arthur back to their homes. In Dallas, about 500 people are still staying at the K. Bailey Hutchison Convention Center in downtown. Now to Think, and the story of how two cousins went down different paths. Danielle Allen and her cousin Michael Allen shared a lot as kids, a sprawling extended family who spent holidays together, and a gift for writing that seemed to promise a successful future. But while Danielle became a professor at Harvard, Michael spent years in prison and was eventually killed at 29. Today on Think, Danielle talked with Chris Boyd about trying to understand why Michael's path diverged from her own.
Michael, you know, he had this incredible potential, which he knew. He knew he was a smart kid. He knew he could do college-level work. He knew he enjoyed college-level work, but he also was drawn to difficult and dangerous circumstances. But I think he didn't understand how to resolve these contradictions in himself. He didn't understand how to support his good aspirations, his good instincts, and to separate himself from the things pulling him in bad directions. I do keep coming back to the war on drugs because I think it has helped produce a culture of secrecy that makes the secrecy of adolescence even worse. So if a kid is flirting with drugs and so forth, no, they're not going to talk to their parents about it. They're not going to be forthright, not just because drugs are problematic, they're a bad thing, but because they're illegal. And so I think across the board, what we've done with the war on drugs has been to drive a lot of issues underground and make it harder for people to address them.
Danielle Allen is the author of Cuz, The Life and Times of Michael A. This episode of Think re-airs tonight at 10, and you can subscribe to the podcast at think.kera.org. Texas enacted a new law this month that regulates the use of jailhouse informants. These are the inmates prosecutors call to help make their case, usually in exchange for a deal, such as a lighter sentence. But experts say testimony from informants has helped send innocent people to prison. KERA's Christopher Connolly reports on one man's case that spurred a similar change in Tarrant County.
Call number C-213.
John Nolley always insisted he did not kill his friend, but he spent nearly 19 years locked up for the gruesome murder. Last year, in May, he was back in the same Fort Worth courthouse where he was convicted. This time, he was being released. His family was ecstatic when he walked in. The hearing was brief, but it was a really big deal. The judge, the prosecutor's office, and Nolley's lawyers all agreed he never got a fair trial, so he was released while his case was reopened. When he was sentenced, Nolley had two young boys, 1 and 4 years old. Now he was hugging two grown sons and his tiny granddaughters.
It's just overwhelming. I mean, too many emotions just to focus and, you know, just channel in on one, you know.
In 1996, Nolley's friend Sharon McLean was stabbed 57 times in her Bedford apartment. Nolley was charged based largely on the fact that he'd visited her in the days before her death, says Nina Morrison, who spent more than a decade working on Nolley's case. She's a lawyer with the Innocence Project.
There was no forensic evidence connecting him to the crime. He hadn't confessed to the crime to anyone, and there was not even any evidence of motive.
What prosecutors did have, what proved really effective, was a jailhouse informant, a man who said Nolley told him he killed McLean when they were locked up together before trial. On the stand, he told jurors he wasn't trading his testimony for leniency. At the time, the informant faced decades in prison, but ended up with a plea deal and no jail time.
When he got up and told Nolley's jury and looked them in the eye and said, "I've never snitched on anyone, I've never offered to," that was a complete and total lie.
Nolley was in prison for more than 15 years before that lie came to light. Morrison had started working with the Tarrant County District Attorney's Office, which uncovered records showing the informant had been lobbying prosecutors for more than a year to testify against other defendants so he could stay out of jail. That's information Nolly's lawyers never saw during his trial.
It was just earth-shattering, and I knew then that John Nolly had a very good shot at getting his freedom at last.
Morrison says the Tarrant County DA's office was exceptionally committed to setting things right. Don Boswell runs the Conviction Integrity Unit. She couldn't talk about details of the case, but she says big picture, the system has to get it right.
If you don't have the right guy, then you've got a perfect crime. We don't want that.
Back in 2005, the Center on Wrongful Convictions reported that false testimony from jailhouse informants was the single biggest reason people were sentenced to die for crimes they didn't commit. In Tarrant County, John Nolly's case was the impetus for a dramatic change in policy at the DA's office, tracking and restricting the use of jailhouse informant testimony. Boswell says the policy directs prosecutors to disclose any deal informants get for testifying.
We say we don't want any wink, wink, nod, nod deals, and it needs to all be out there so that all the relevant parties involved in the system have an opportunity to consider those factors and to refute them.
Only one other prosecutor's office in the country had done something this sweeping to stop bad jailhouse informant testimony. Nina Morrison from the Innocence Project says safeguards like this are crucial because informants are incentivized to lie.
Prison is a horrible place. Many of these informants have been to prison before. They know just how bad it is, and they are desperate to do what they can to get out from under a long sentence. But a lot of jurors who don't have experience with the justice system don't realize the way those incentives work.
Our meeting of the Timothy Cole Exoneration Review Commission will come to order.
Around the same time, the DA's office in Tarrant County was rethinking its jailhouse informants policy. A commission in Austin was also studying wrongful conviction. Amarillo Representative John Smithy says they looked at more than 200 cases where innocent people were sent to Texas prisons. A handful of issues came up again and again.
It was amazing and surprising to me how easy it was to identify where the system went wrong on most of these cases.
When they wrote legislation to fix those problems, the commission included regulations on jailhouse informants. It drew praise from exonerees like Michael Morton, who spent 25 years in prison before DNA evidence cleared him.
I live with these guys. They're not informants, they're snitches. I know these guys. I used to sleep next to them.
The legislation passed with bipartisan support and became law this month. As for John Nolly, the man whose case ended up changing the policy in Tarrant County, he hasn't been exonerated yet. Right now, he's out on bond while a state court considers vacating his conviction. Meanwhile, prosecutors are using new technology to retest the forensic DNA from the murder. His lawyer, Nina Morrison, says Nolly appreciates every day he's free.
You know, it's always a challenge to come out of prison after losing nearly two decades of your life for a crime you didn't commit. But he's done an amazing job of rebuilding his life one step at a time.
He's working, stays active in his church, spends a lot of time with family. And just this spring, Nolly got married to a childhood friend. Christopher Connolly, KERA News.
A programming note, Ken Burns' Vietnam War miniseries continues tonight at 7 on KERA-TV. Tonight's episode focuses on how President Kennedy and his advisors wrestled with how deeply to get involved in South Vietnam. Then at 8:30, Ken Burns and Lynn Novick talk about the Vietnam War miniseries with Chris Boyd in a special Think interview. That's tonight on KERA-TV. In the forecast, partly cloudy tonight with a low around 76. Tomorrow, sunny with a high of 95. It's 93 degrees right now in Dallas. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.